Take the Word of God, please, tonight, and turn with me the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter number 5, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Nehemiah, chapter number 5. We've been watching the work going on, building the wall, and we continue tonight. Chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also the 100th part of the money and of the corn, the wine, the oil that you exact of them. Then they said, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth this, not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. The people did according to this promise. Moreover, from that time, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came in unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days, 10 days store, all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 9. It says, "Also I said, it is not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies?" And I want to preach tonight on this thought. Walk in the fear of God. Walk in the fear of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us and for the time that you've given to us to hear the wonderful music, Lord, to give unto thee. Lord, now we come to the time of preaching. Lord, you've given us something in your word that will help us if we heed to it. And I pray tonight that we would hear what you would have us to hear, and that we would respond in a way that's right, that when we go away from this place tonight, that we'll have been totally obedient unto Thee and to the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives. Help me as I stand to preach. God, I know my faults, my failures, and I know my inabilities, and I can't do this in myself. But Lord, if the Spirit of God would rest upon me and give me the unction, the words, the ability, Lord, I pray that I'll preach Thy Word, Lord, and people's hearts would be stirred, and that we'd give You all the glory. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As Nehemiah and the people been dealing, if you'll remember last week, dealt with the enemy that was lurking on the outside of the city, there's a new problem that creeps in. A new problem arises. And this time, the problem's on the inside. This time, the problem's within. There's a work that needs to be done. But it will not be done with division among the people. By the way, we need to take note of that. There's a work that needs to be done here, in this place and in this city. And if we ever become a divided people, that work will not get accomplished. It will not happen. Nehemiah listens to the cry of the people. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. And listen, for there were that said, we, our sons, our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we've mortgaged our lands, vineyards, houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. So he's listening and the people are saying some things. They're saying, we have no money. There's a drought in the land. And our sons and our daughters, there are many. And so we've taken up corn for them that we can eat and live. And now we've had to mortgage our lands to be able to buy this. In other words, we're being taxed to death. Our own brethren are taking advantage of us. They're holding over our heads all that we have. And we've actually had to allow our sons and daughters to become servants to them. And we don't even have the money to buy them back. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to work together when you've got this kind of division, isn't it? The Lord's pleased when the brethren dwell together in unity. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's not pleased this situation. And so we see that Nehemiah deals with the problem. Verse 6 and verse number 7, look what it says. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, that's taxes, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. When we look at this tonight, the Bible says Nehemiah heard what they were crying about and what they were saying, and he said, when I heard, I was angry. I'm reminded of what the New Testament says. It says, be angry and sin not. And Nehemiah was angry. And by the way, it's not wrong to be angry as long as you don't sin in that anger. And so we find that Nehemiah was angry, but he did not sin. And then he thinks things through. He thinks through what needs to be said. Notice what he said. He consults with himself. Consulting with himself, he's making sure that he is where he needs to be before he deals with these oppressors, before he deals with all these others. You know, a lot of times people always want to tell you what you're doing wrong, but they never want to see what they're doing wrong. Right? People want to always point out your faults, but it's almost as if they have no faults. And Nehemiah said, I've got to be right with God before I deal with this problem. And so Nehemiah consults with himself. I like the wording of the Bible, don't you? I like how God shows us some things. So I consulted with myself. I looked within. I talked things through in my own heart, in my own life, and I made sure that I was right with God, because I'm getting ready to deal in a harsh way with some people. And so he consults with himself, and he makes sure that he's right before he deals with these. And then he reminds these people of the law of God concerning the usury. And we find that in Exodus chapter number 22, at verse number 25. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." In other words, God said, when you're dealing with my people, when my people's dealing with my people, you don't hold these things over their head. It's like in the church, we've had people that have had needs. And you know what? We've helped people with those needs, people of the church. And we never go to them and say, "Look, you need to pass back." That wouldn't be right with the Lord, would it? Because people were going through difficult times. Well, here there were some difficult times going on. And Nehemiah says, "Do you remember what God said? You don't do that. That's not how you deal with it. They're our brothers, our sisters, they're our family. They're the people of God. And we deal with them in a different way." And by the way, we deal with the Christians in a different way, don't we? The Bible says, you know, you pass from death unto life. People know you pass from death unto life. Why? Because you love the brethren. By the way, I find myself loving everybody that knows the Lord. I love people that don't know the Lord. But there's something that I have in common with these people. They're not all Baptist. They don't all use the right Bible. They don't all sing the right kind of songs. But I want to tell you something. If they know the Lord Jesus as Savior, I can have sweet fellowship with them. I can enjoy that. And we can talk and discuss. And we may not agree on a lot of things, but boy, we can agree on Him. Amen? And I believe we ought to treat our Christians, our brothers and sisters, right. Verse number 8, he reminds them of the evil way that they had been enslaved and how they had been taken in bondage. Notice what he says. "And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us?" You notice what he's saying? Are you going to treat the brethren like the heathen treated us? Like the Egyptians treated us? Like the Babylonians treated us, like we've been treated in our history? Are you going to treat each other like that? He's talking to them and he's dealing with them. He says, "Look, we've been treated evil all along the way. Are we not better than the heathen?" You know what? Sometimes Christians act just like the world. They treat people the wrong way. I'm glad we have the kind of church we have. Now look, we're not perfect. I know that. The reason I know we're not perfect is because you don't have a perfect pastor. I understand that. But I look out and I don't pastor a perfect people, right? Because we're not perfect. But there's one thing that I've loved about this church, and especially in the last couple of years, I've seen it more and more and more. It doesn't matter who walks through the doors of that church. We don't judge the people by their past. We accept them for who they are. And we allow them to come into this place, and we try to love them to the Lord if they don't know the Lord. And if they do know the Lord, we just try to let them know how much we care about them. I want to tell you, it makes a difference. We get letters and cards sometimes, and we get comments from people. And I assure you, there are so many things, positive things that have been said. I think about there's some people that have come to our church, and now they didn't unite with our church, they didn't join our church, it's just because of certain circumstances. But they've said time and time and time again, we love the freedom that's there. And we love the people and how the people treat us. They just love you, and you know they love you. Isn't that great? I always want to be a part of a church like that, don't you? Here, the brethren. the Jews were treating their own people like the heathen. Those that were not Jews, by the way, Gentiles, how they were treating them. He said, are we not better than the heathen? Are we going to enslave our own brethren? Verse number 8, the Bible says, then they held their peace and they found nothing to answer. See, they knew that Nehemiah was right. They knew that what he was saying in his rebuke was right. So what is the answer to the problem that they were faced with? The answer in how to keep the work going. The answer in how to solve the division, the problem of the division that's given to us. Verse number 9 gives us the answer. The Bible says, also I said, it's not good that you do. In other words, what you're doing is not right. But this, he goes on, ought you not to walk in the fear of our God? So he said, the answer to the problem that we have is that we would walk in the fear of God. See, the real problem was not oppression. The real problem was not division. The real problem was not bondage and slavery, but the real problem was their view of God. Their real problem was they did not fear God. They did not reverence God, and they did not trust God. See, we have a God that said He would provide all of our needs. But they said, we've got to hold this over their head, and we've got to draw from them and from their families, and we've got to use them and abuse them. And if they would have feared God, they would have said, we're going to trust God. The God that allowed us to walk through the Red Sea on dry land. The God that rained down manna from heaven. The God that gave us quail so much. He said that the Bible says that it was coming out their nose. I'm talking about the God that delivered them into the land of Canaan. I'm talking about the God that watched over them and brought them out that He might bring them in. And they needed to learn to trust God. Well, by the way, we need to learn to trust God. We look to everything and to everybody, but there's a God in heaven that's sitting on His throne. And dear friend, if we'll learn to walk in the fear of God and reverence Him and trust Him and believe in Him, He'll take care of everything. But here was the problem. Man, they were treating the brethren wrong. They were doing wrong things. Nehemiah says, ought you not to walk in the fear of God? And while Nehemiah and the people were dealing with these internal problems, there's no doubt that the wall was not being worked on the way it should. They had to deal with all this fighting and feuding and fussing. Well, let me tell you something. If you're one of those that likes to fight and feud and fuss, you're hindering the work of God in the church. And I hope you're not, and I hope you don't. You know, we don't have a whole lot of fighting and feuding and fussing. We have personality differences. There's no doubt about that. We're all different, you know. But I hope we don't have that attitude, and I don't think we do. But you can only imagine that the work wasn't getting done because Nehemiah was having to deal with this. A lot of churches today are not getting the work done because people are not walking in the fear of God. It's more like a machine sometimes, isn't it? Churches are more like machinery instead of following the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something to do with the Spirit of God that we need. Some of the things I see happening in churches, thinking that they have to go to the ways of the world to grow, it burdens my heart. Dear friends, we don't need the world, we need the Lord. We don't need to trust the CEOs and all the gurus that are out there writing these books. We just need to go to the book. And I want to tell you something, if we'll follow the book, then God will help us. When we walk in the fear of Him, the work not only continues, but there's other things that take place. And I want us to look at just a couple of things tonight, if you will. When we're walking in the fear of God, number one, we treat the brethren right. We treat the brethren right. The Bible says in verse number 10, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them the money and corn I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also the 100th part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, the oil that you exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. And I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. When Nehemiah reminded them of who God was and what God had done, and they saw God and they thought of His holiness and they thought of His righteousness and they remembered how God had delivered them, they repented. They changed their mind. And they went from oppressing to restoring. That's what happens. And when the church is walking in the fear of God and we trust the Lord, I'm going to tell you what will happen. We'll treat the brethren right. We'll love one another. We'll care for one another. When one fails, we'll not oppress them. When one falters and makes their mistakes, we'll not push them down and we'll not spread the news and we'll not talk about them. But what we'll do is we'll go down to the ditch to where they are and we'll do everything we can to pick them up and to restore them to health. That's what happens when you walk in the fear of God. Now look, there's churches all around that when somebody makes a mistake, all they want to do is cast stones. But I'll tell you tonight, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, when somebody makes a mistake, we're going to love them back to health. We're going to strengthen them. We're going to be there for them. We're going to let them know that they may have made a mistake, but if they'll get it right with God, it'll be all right with us. We'll help them and strengthen them and we'll be there for them to nurture them and to cause them to walk back in the grace of God and in the strength that God has for them. We'll not push them down, but we'll pick them up. Not everyone will have as much as others, but it'll not make a difference. We'll just treat them right. We'll not look and say, well, look at their financial condition. Look, I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care if you don't have a dime. It's not about what you have. It's about who you have. And we're not going to treat anybody any different. You know, I tried to shake everybody's hands and let you know I love you and care for you. Now, some people may not know it, and I tell you, I don't know what to do. But I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love everybody here. There's people, there's strangers that walk through that door, and when they walk through the door, you know what? I love them. Because I know that God can do a work in their life. And boy, if I'll just show them the love of God, what a difference it can make. We're not, they may walk through the door, and they may not smell good. They may not be dressed, you know, to the hilt. They may not be driving a fancy automobile. But we're not going to treat them any different. We're just going to love them. And boy, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they're part of the family. And we're going to be there to strengthen them, to guide them, to help them along the way. When you walk in the fear of God, that's what happens. You treat the brethren right. Number two, when you walk in the fear of God, you'll turn away the reproach. There's a reproach. The Bible says in verse number 9, also I said, it's not good that you do. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? Do you see that? The heathen, our enemies? No doubt. The enemy was rejoicing over the strife that was going on amongst the people. Look, when the devil doesn't have to fight us because there's fighting amongst ourselves, he's so happy. And so I'm sure that the enemy was so excited, and the enemy rejoices today over the internal problems that are going on in churches all around. But when we walk in the fear of God, we'll not fight amongst ourselves, but we'll fight together against the enemy. That's what the devil doesn't want. Boy, when we're standing united and we're standing strong in the Lord, and the enemy tries to throw an attack on one of us or on the whole church, there's something that happens. There's a mighty army, the army of God, that rises up, and it can't penetrate. Oh, Satan can't penetrate, because there's a group of people here that's standing there and fighting the devil. And I may be weak, but you're there and you're strong and you're fighting the devil for me. And we turn away the reproach. Look, there's a lot of people that thinks we're crazy. And I'm not saying us individually. I'm saying churches like us. They say you've got to go out, you've got to bring in the rock bands, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to compromise the standards, and you've got to quit being so strong on your convictions, and you got to be more social, and you got to be more this and more that, and you've got to get rid of all that doctrine. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of people that are out there. But there's a whole bunch of people that are in here that say, no, we're not letting down our standards. We're not compromising our convictions. We're not lowering the doctrine. We're not changing the doctrine of the Word of God. And that old devil may fight, and the world may fight, but we're going to stand strong, and we're going to turn away the reproach. The enemy's trying to reproach us. You know, Satan would like nothing better than to get his foot in the door here. Oh, he'd love it. He don't want us to close down. He just wants to control us. We're not going to let that happen, because we're going to walk in the fear of God. The Bible teaches us that there are those that are on the outside that are not the enemy. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. You know, this was talking about people that were outside of the Jewish realm, the children of Israel. They would represent people that are lost today. By the way, the lost are not our enemy. The devil's our enemy. So we have to look at this. So lost people today, they're looking for answers. They're not going to come near a church that's divided. Have you ever been in a church and you walked in, I mean, as a believer, and you thought, boy, there's something not right here? And you feel so oppressed? Have you ever been there? You know, or it's such a ritual and it's dead? Or you come in and you can sense there's problems. Well, lost people are not ignorant to that. And they come in and they sense those problems. You know what they say? I don't want to be within 100 miles of that, because it's getting ready to blow up. But when we're walking in the fear of God, then we're going to treat the brethren right. And when we're treating the brethren right, it'll turn away the reproach of the enemy. People come in, they're going to say, man, there's something about that place. And that's what I'm telling you. I'm bragging on what God's done. But you don't know how many people that have said there's so much love in that place when they talk about this church. There's so much love, and boy, you just walk in and the people, they just love you. We had folks that just left town yesterday on the road today, and that's what they said. They said, we felt so loved while we were there. Those months we were there, we felt so much love, and we hate to leave. And boy, I'm telling you, when they were leaving, their hearts were broken. And you know why? It was because of the people here. It wasn't because of jobs or because of schools. It was because of the church. Thank the Lord for that. When we're walking in the fear of God, it'll turn away the reproach of the enemy. When people come in and people, you know, or when you go out and people are talking about others, you know what? Y'all never say anything negative. Y'all never say anything negative about people in the church. I don't care if it's each other. Y'all know, and if you have a problem with somebody, go to them. Hey, this is the way I look at it. If you have a problem with me, come to me. Don't need to talk to anybody else about it. Because your problem's not with somebody, it's with me, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If my problem's with you, I need to come to you. I was reading a story the other day. I told Brother Mickey about this. I was a pastor, and he said for 40 years he had a book on his desk, and it was just a book full of blank pages. And he said every time somebody would come into his office and they would want to complain about someone else, he'd say, hang on, let me get my book out. So he'd get his book out. He'd say, all right, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to write down your complaint, who it's about, what the complaint is, and then I want you to sign your name to it. Oh, whoa! Don't want to do that. Well, if I'm going to deal with this, I've got to let them know who the complaint come from and what it's about. And he said for 40 years, that book stayed blank. There's a lot of people that want to talk about somebody else, but they don't want to talk to them about the problem they have. Listen, that's nothing but the devil. Right? Amen. So we have to understand, we have to deal with things like this. And when we're walking in the fear of God, we're not going to always be finding the fault. We're going to be finding favor with people. And we're going to love one another. And we're going to care for one another. And when people are always complaining, by the way, you go into work, and all you want to talk about how sorry that preacher is and how terrible a job he does preaching. And, you know, he can't preach. He couldn't preach his way out of a paper bag. And he tries to lead a song every now and then, and he's never on the right key, and he's never on the right note. And I just don't know why in the world he's here. And I don't know why we ever called him to be the pastor of this church and blah, 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 blah. Well, I'll tell you what. I can just see everybody in that office going to say, boy, I'd like to go to that church. No, they're going to say, I don't want to go near that place. Or you go in and you say, boy, there's somebody in our church, they just get under my skin. I can't stand anything about them. I tell you what, I didn't like the way he parted his hair. He parted it on the right side instead of on the left side this week. And I don't like anything about that. Anybody knows you're going to be right with God? You have to part it on the left side. Right? I mean, we find things to pick about where people do. I hope you don't. But look, when you go to work, you know what you ought to do? You ought to brag on what God's done in the church. Because if you're tearing it down, then the work's not getting done. And the reproach of the enemy is winning the battle. But when we walk in the fear of God, we turn away the reproach. When we walk in the fear of God, we treat the brethren right. And when we walk in the fear of God, we trust the Lord for all things. The Bible says, in verse number 15, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. This fear of God, it literally means a reverential trust. In other words, you reverence God and trust Him so much that you don't need to abuse others. And what had happened was the governor before Nehemiah basically abused the people. And they took what was the governor's fare, if you will, and they taxed him with all these shekels of silver and they allowed their servants to rule over the people. But Nehemiah said, I didn't do that because I feared God. I saw the condition of the people, and instead of taxing them, then I was wanting to take taxes away. Instead of putting more of a burden on them, I was wanting to take the burden away. Because I feared God, and I knew this was God's people, and I knew I had to treat them right. And so, I can't do this. And when he was trusting the Lord, notice that the work continued. Verse number 16. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all of my servants were gathered thither unto the work. When Nehemiah was right with God, and he had gotten these people right with the Lord, and they trusted God, the work started happening again, didn't it? The work was getting done. And then the resources were provided. Verse number 18, the Bible says, now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox, six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store, all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required I not the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon the people. You know what he was saying? I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not trying to put a burden on the people. I'm just telling God what we need. And God provided all their need. See, not only for the work of the wall, but daily provision. Daily provision. When you walk in the fear of God, you want to know what happens? You learn to trust the Lord. And there'll be money for groceries. You ever see somebody that say they're saved and they're hungry? The only time I've ever met somebody is out on the street, and I'd talk to them. And they'd say, "Boy, I'm hungry." And I'd say, "Are you a Christian?" And they would say, "Yes, I am a Christian. I'm saved. I've trusted the Lord." And I'll look at them and I'll say, "Well, you're not living for the Lord." "No, I'm not living for the Lord." "Well, that's why you don't have anything." You know, the psalmist said it well. "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Now, it may be beans and taters that you eat every night, but there's nothing wrong with that. But God will provide your need. When you walk in the fear of God and you learn to trust the Lord, it's not about having ribeye every night. But it's about having your needs met day by day. And I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of that. This is what was happening. Nehemiah was learning some things and he was teaching the people some things. He said, "Ought you not to walk in the fear of God? And when you do, you'll treat the brethren right. When you do, you'll turn away the reproach. When you do, you'll trust the Lord for all things." Nehemiah was saying to these folks that it's not right to oppress others for wealth. But we have to trust the Lord for our needs. God's able. We're living in a world where people use one another. There are certain jobs I couldn't have because I just think I couldn't lie to others to gain from them. There are certain things I could not do. Not just because it's unethical in the sense of it, but because it's treating others in an unethical way. By the way, I believe some of our politicians need to hear a message like that. There's a work that needs to be done today. And certainly there'll be those that are on the outside that may threaten or may cause danger. But I want you to know the greatest danger is when those that are supposed to be working together are divided. That's the greatest danger. There's a way to keep that from happening. There's a way to keep the work going and to get the work done. And that's to walk in the fear of our God. Not some other God, but our God. And when we walk in the fear of God, it'll make such a difference. Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, there's no doubt there's so many lessons to be learned in the book of Nehemiah.